Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the servant girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. "You aren't one of this man's disciples, are you?" she asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." It was cold, and the servants and the officials stood around the fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. Meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. "I have spoken openly to the world," Jesus replied. "I have always taught in synagogues or at the temple, where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said." When Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby slapped him in the face. "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" he demanded. "If I said something wrong," Jesus replied, "testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me?" And Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there, warming himself. So they asked him, "You aren't one of the disciples too, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, a rooster began to crow. So I get the task of speaking about Peter and the denial of Christ. And I feel, on many occasions, I can identify with Peter, and I think a lot of us can. But I may be speaking for myself, but I don't know if I really want to be able to clearly identify with him in this situation. But I'm not really sure if I can say that's true. When we look at Peter's denial, it is a flat-out lie. It's a blatant denial. I mean, he's questioned and he says, "I am not." And this is a man that's been walking with Jesus, a man who knows him well, has been present for many teachings, witnessed many miracles, and yet he still denies Christ. As close as he is, he denies Jesus. So what can bring a man who's that close to deny him? So looking at the scripture, the reading of John, I really get a sense of fear. I want to take a step back and kind of paint a picture. I really wanted to look at the scene of what was going on with Peter when this event was transpiring. So we just saw, or just heard about Jesus being taken and to the courtyard and for questioning. And we heard that Peter was ready to fight. I mean, he drew his sword, cut the ear off of one of the servants. He was ready to go down a blazing. I mean, his emotions were running rampant. I mean, he was ready to fight for this man, his friend, his savior. But then Jesus stopped him, and they headed to the courtyard, and Peter followed behind. Now, there's a couple different things, and I'm going to point out along the way, that John's gospel illustrates that I think really hits home that fear point for me. The first part is, as they get to enter into the courtyard, John mentions specifically that Peter has to stop because he's a stranger. He is not known to the high priest and probably not known to many in this situation and has to stand outside. So now he's got all these emotions that have been running high, and now he's standing outside by himself. So now his brain starts to enter in. Now he's thinking, okay, what Jesus has called for, what he's predicted is coming true. And he's seeing what Jesus is about to face. And I think he's also thinking about what he's just done and what his potential fate is going to be for following him. Now, I don't know if it was moments or minutes that he sat out there thinking about this, but I think this is when the first point of that fear of the reality of the situation really starts setting in for him. Then he goes inside, he finally gets let in, And it doesn't say where the other disciple is at that point. But it does say Peter stands around the fire with the other servants and officials. So I'm assuming that he's still basically a stranger in this situation, doesn't know anybody, and now he's surrounded by all these unknown people who are questioning him. And another thing that John states that I think is very subtle in its wording, but really means a lot to me when I'm picturing the scenario, is John, he states that Jesus is standing around the fire, whereas the other Gospels mention him sitting when you read them. And to me, that's really what kind of gives me that picture of unrest, that fear, because he's not able to sit comfortably. I picture a man who's standing there kind of with his head down, kind of drawn in, looking around, wavering nervously, not sure what's going to happen. So I've never been in the position where I've been questioned about being a follower of Jesus, where it was in a persecuting manner. I've had people question me about why I believe in Jesus and about my faith and what it means to me, but more in a curious manner than a persecuting manner. So how is it that I find myself identifying with Peter in this situation? Well, I have had situations where I've missed opportunities where I could have witnessed, some that I've even known during that I've passed on. I've had times where my actions haven't met and lined up with a Christ-like image that we're called to try and walk in. And we know that sometimes when our actions don't line up with what our words are saying, it's not going to bring people to Christ. It's going to take people further away. So it may not be a direct denial of Christ, but I think those means can be an indirect or an omission that leads to a denial of Christ. And there's definitely a sense of shame that's associated with it. I mean, I've definitely hung my head, and we don't see it specifically in the wording here, but if you look at the other Gospels' depictions of it, you see that Peter immediately goes and sobs. So can I really equate these on the same level? Is it really that big of a deal that I've missed an opportunity here or there? I really think it is, and I think it's seen in the scripture because we're being called to be witnesses, and I use that term witness purposefully. So when we look again at the gospel reading, another thing that really stuck out to me was kind of the order of the verses. You see Peter's denial first, then you see it go into the question of Jesus, and then you see his other two denials. When I read this, I'm picturing kind of a dual frame. I see Peter on one side having his denials and denying Christ. But I see at the exact same time, Jesus is being questioning. And I think he knows exactly what's going on outside in the courtyard. And I think it's shown when you look at verse 21, he specifically says, "Why ask me? Ask them, they know what I've said." That's his acknowledgement, I believe, that he knows what Peter's doing outside. But I think it's also, even more so than that, it's that call to witness. He's calling for witnesses. He's calling for people to testify him, because he doesn't need to acknowledge who he is. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He knows. He's calling us to do that job for him. So yes, it's very important if we're not sharing that word. And luckily, we know what Peter's result was. He gets reincorporated, and he ends up down the road getting the charge to feed the sheep and lead the sheep. So we know that regardless of whether we've fallen short on this, that grace is still there, and that redemption is still there. But so is that call to witness. So my question is for you guys, is there any times where you've fallen short in that witnessing? And if so, what are those barriers to being able to witness as he's called us to? And have you sought God's guidance in helping deal with those barriers?